mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Come on, let's give him another hand. I've heard that song many times, but not like that. Let's give our babies another hand. Come on. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity now to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text and unfold, disclose the truth that you desire to share with us today. We praise you, we give you honor and glory for what you will reveal to us. Give us power to practice the principles that we learn in your word, that we might give you all the praise as you bless us each and every day to walk more closely with thee. Now again, God, do as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're picking up at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. But before we go there, I just want to share that this special time of communion and thinking of that Christ told us to do and not to forget. One of the things he made clear in John 15, 12, 13, and 14 was the fact that his commandment was that we love one another even as he has loved us. And then he said that greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then in the 14th verse, he calls us friends with a stipulation: if you do whatsoever I command you. And so the message of love, out of all that we talk about, all that we do, must rise to the top and must yet be the foundation of all of our operations in the Lord. And so one of the things that Paul talks about, and we're continuing the message, love the more excellent way, to help us deal with and understand the complexity and perplexity of the love of God. It is far deeper, far stronger. It is much richer and purer than any love we have ever known. And so we want to look at that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity, what? Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Listen at this. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Then the word says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. One of the things that I think is so important and helpful for us to understand first is this word charity. It is not just a word of benevolence or giving of alms or support or help or aid to someone who's less fortunate than yourself. It stems from the word agape, which is the God kind of love. It is the richest and the purest of loves, and certainly it is the love from which all other loves emanate from. The Bible says God is love. God is love. He doesn't put on love, he is love. He doesn't just demonstrate love, he is love. Love comes from him. It's an expression of who he is. And that's why God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what?
Gave.
Why? Giving is an expression of love. So right is the saying, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so when people talk about I love you and there's nothing tangible, there's nothing meaningful, there is nothing necessary or needful to follow those words, that love is subject to being real and pure. And so when you begin to understand that love, listen, expresses itself in tangible ways, in demonstrative ways, and it's important to understand God is the greatest example of love because he is love. Amen. So this charity is talking about the agape love, the God kind of love. And my brothers and sisters, I think I need to throw out parenthetically that if you're going to do anything for God, you need the God kind of love. Because if you're going to serve God's people, you need God's love. God has told many of the prophets, don't worry, they ain't going to believe you because they didn't believe me. But I still have to tell them. God has encourage many of the believers and workers of the kingdom because the people were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. God had to remind them, I know how they are. I know who they are. I know what they are. But his love would not allow him to give up on us. Amen. We who are made in his image and in his likeness, the chiefest of his creation, God showed, demonstrated love to the nth degree when it came to us, and he would not give up on us. And so because he would not give up on us, You think about what it costs God to love you. I said, you think about what it costs God to love you. Well, let me put it this way. You think about what it costs you to love who you say you love. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your parents, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whatever it is you say you love, you think about what it costs you to love you. Because listen, if it don't cost you nothing to love them, you ain't loving nobody. Have I got a piece of witness in the house? Love costs you much. And anybody who thinks love does not cost much don't know love. Love is not cheap. Now somebody might give cheap gifts that say they in love, but love isn't cheap. There's a price you pay for love like none other. And it's all in the text. One of the things that I love about the word we have before us is it gives us 11 identified strengths of love. In verses 4, 5, 6, we find 11 strengths, identified strengths of love. Let's walk through them. First of all, if love is the more excellent way, look at how it begins. It says charity, interpreted as love, suffereth long. Now, right there, a whole lot of us would be counted out. Because we ain't gonna suffer. And if we do, it ain't gonna be long. Now, we might as well be real about this. That's why you need the God kind of love to make it in any other relationship. Eros is love between a man and a woman, but a love between a man and a woman has no real foundation if it's not based on agape love, on the God kind of love. It's only feelings and emotions and physicalness. The physical attributes of what we call love is not love. And many of us miss that. And so that's one of the reasons why you can fall in and out of love so easily, because you attach your feelings to your emotions and your emotions to your sight. So what you see, you like. And once you no longer like what you see, after the love is gone, what used to be right is wrong. You know, you take all of that when you're in love, but when you don't, talk to the hand, the faith ain't living. Can't we just talk about it? Ain't nothing to talk about. You just get caught and short and rude. The Bible says love suffereth long. Now, look at church work, and I want you to keep it in the context of whatever love we're dealing with, whether it's the godly love as it relates to God's work, and I'm talking about godly people. Think about how godly folk try your nerves, try your patience, try you, test you. If it weren't for Jesus, you would speak in tongues and they wouldn't all be holy. Because there are just some things you get tired of. Love suffereth long. But notice what it says. Two is kind. Wait a minute. Suffereth long and is kind. That don't go together. Not in the natural love. But in the godly love, kindness is right after suffering. That does not produce kindness, suffering. But in the God kind of love, it does. Because what God demonstrates to us is that the end result is greater than the ups and downs of the journey. Saving that soul is more important to God in the end than the ups and downs that God has to deal with, even in his love for them. those who say they love God, but then they act like they are number one Ace Boon Coon with the devil. They confer more with the devil than they do with God. They are in the devil's house more than they are in God's house. They spend more of their money on devilish things than they do godly things. They give their money away. They go to clubs and to boats and to stores and buy tea. Y'all getting quiet on me. But they won't pay their tithes and they won't give their offerings. Yeah. I mean, I can keep on going on about what they do, but yet God doesn't deal with them harshly. He deals with them with kindness. Then love envieth not. Love is not envious of anyone. Love is so pure and so rich and so holy. There is nothing greater than love. So if there's nothing greater than God's love, what does he have to envy about anybody or about anything? And when you have the godly love, the God kind of love in you, you don't have to envy anybody. It might be their day, might be their time, their ship has come in, God is blessing them right now, but here's what you know, yours is on the way. I don't have to be envious about what God is doing or has done for you, because I know mine is coming. Listen, the love that God wants us to have should not be any kind of love that causes us to act up. We don't have to brag. People who brag have something missing under the skin. They have to be validated by other folk. They have to be validated by what they paid for something. They have to be validated by what they've done. But see, when it's right, you don't have to boast and brag about what you do and what you have and all that's concerning you. You're not puffed up. You know what puffed up is? It's a whole lot of air and a whole lot less substance. I think I told y'all before, I don't like the puffed Cheetos. I like the crunchy. You put 3-4 big old puff Cheetos in your mouth and crunch all the way down, hurt your teeth. And you think you got yourself something there, but it's all puffed up. That's the way a lot of folk are. They're just puffed up, nothing to them. When a bullfrog feels threatened, is it? Why does it puff itself up? To make its enemy, its adversary, believe it's larger than it is. Listen, we are what we are by the grace of God. What you see is what you get. All that puffed up, putting on make-believe, trying to act like you what you aren't, that doesn't benefit anybody. First of all, it's an insult to God, because he made you. He knows all about you. If he wanted you puffed up, he'd have puffed you up.
Yeah.
But he made you in the image of him. He made you in the way he designed. He made you like that would please him, not for others. But we're puffed up with pride, we're puffed up with self, we're puffed up with those things that are not eternal, but they're temporal. Look at us. Love doth not behave unseemly. It's not self-serving. It's not rude. Why? Because one of the things that you're going to note about this kind of love is you don't have to be rude. You don't have to be. For what? What does that prove? When I see somebody who's rude and having issues, and I don't even know them, and they're acting like, you know, you drive through, you go to where people got attitude and stuff, and they nasty. You know, the first response in the natural is like, what's your problem? I'm the reason the doors are open here. Your job exists to serve me. If me and other folk like me stopped coming, you wouldn't have a job. But for you to act like I'm bothering you on your job because I want a little service with politeness, listen, that's why businesses go, in spite of how good the product is, sometimes the people run people from their business. Because they don't know how to handle people. They don't know how to be courteous. They don't know how to enter into conversation, communication, represent the place or the people or the ownership or the business the correct way. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't misrepresent God. God is not rude. God don't act like many of us act in Jesus' name. We act worse than people in the world, some of us. You come into church, and church folk are some of the hellish folk you want to find on planet Earth. But we're on our way to heaven. Anyhow. You don't believe me? Just look at some of them. Roll their eyes. If they could roll out of their head, I said, just keep on rolling them. Just keep on rolling them. Keep on. I'm going to tell the Lord, let them stick in that position. I mean, what's all of that for? People speak to get up there and mess up. Like you can do better. And you get up there and you with all of that hum, hum, yun, hum, hum. What is that? You get up there and get happy because you done forgot what you got to say. Oh, Jim! That's only because you done forgot your place. You just know how to play yours off. Young folk haven't learned that yet. Seeketh not her own. It's not love. Look, listen. God's love is not selfish, self-serving. God's love is not easily provoked. Look, I'm still asking you while you're looking at the price of God's love to look at your love as it relates to you loving somebody else and see how much this already would have cost you. How long can you be angry and not sin? God's love is not easily provoked, which means this. God's not like you. God's not like me. God doesn't get angry and go off the first moment we miss the boat or we mess up or we say this or we do that and just send him off. If it would have happened that way, none of us would be here right now. You see, because even if God would have forgiven us, you know, like we say, strike three, you out. Can any of us even remember when we had strike three?
I mean, I'm talking about going to God, asking God to forgive us for the same sin more than three times. Can you even remember when your third time was? Don't sit in church and lie. Can you remember? No. You don't, because he is not easily provoked into anger. He's not easily provoked to turn his back on you, to cut you loose, to turn you over to a reprobate mind. I thank God he's not easily provoked, because a whole lot of us will provoke God. I just told him. I just sent a word to him. She was sitting in church, and I had the man of God to tell him that I sent over a prophetess and had her prophesy and told her, and look at her now. Lord, ain't even got home good. How many of us have provoked God? Here's what provoking God is: doing what he told you don't do. Amen. And knowing he told you don't do it. And then giving you the consequences of what it's going to cost you if you do it, and you still do it. I didn't think y'all would rejoice too much on this message, but I want to try and tell you, love is powerful here. It's powerful here. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. You know that ain't you. Man, thinking no evil. Man, let one thing be said. Oh, boom, it's all unfolded in your mind. The whole scenario, you could write a production play on it. Because, amen, because it's in your mind. First little thing wrong, you done wrote out the whole play on it. Broadway hit. Because of the evil you think. And see, what you miss sometimes is that the evil isn't necessarily in the situation. Sometimes it's in our own minds. Sometimes we think evil of others because we think evil ourselves. Look at how you're looking at me. Look how she's looking at me. What you looking at? You know, you gonna have that bigoted look, like you all puffed up, like, I wish he would come over here. I wish he. Then they come over. You know, I was just admiring how beautiful that was. Thank you so much. That was really, yeah. I noticed you looking at it. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. Thinketh no evil has so many, ramifications, but every way you can think of it in terms of thinking evil, that's what it means. But look again, rejoiceth not in iniquity, injustice. See, God's love doesn't rejoice in injustices. You're not glad that pain, problems, trouble happen to anybody. Don't care what the color of their skin is. Don't care what their educational background is. Doesn't care what side of the tracks they grew up on. You're not interested in people having bad, as the world terms it, luck, bad troubles, bad things happening to them. You don't rejoice because you're upset with them that something bad has happened to them. We're quick. They see, God don't like ugly. God don't like ugly. This person just got in an accident, and just because you got issues with him, God don't like ugly. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Because that attitude is ugly. That is not of God, to think that God would let something happen to folk just because you don't like them. Who are you? God is no dog. You sick him on somebody and make him take them out of here because you're upset with them.